So Zephaniah, the prophet Zephaniah, he lived around 600 years before the Messiah, and about the same time as Jeremiah. We all know Jeremiah, he wrote lots. But Zephaniah didn't write too much, but he wrote some scary stuff. His topic was the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. So let's start out with Zephaniah, the first verse. And this is from the Orthodox Jewish Bible, so this gives us better perspective on the names. So, Zephaniah ben Cushi. That was his name, Zephaniah ben Cushi. And it continues, ben Gedaliah, ben Amariah, ben Chizkiah. During the reign of Yoshiyahu ben Amon, Melech Yehuda. Melech Yehuda, the king of Judah. So during the time of Yoshiyahu, in our English translation, is Josiah, King Josiah. So Zephaniah, the son of Cushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Chizkiah. Who would that be? Hezekiah, in the English translation. We know that Hezekiah was a king, Josiah was a king. So it does seem like Zephaniah was an important person. He could have even been a king, maybe. Somehow he was in that same lineage. He might have become a king of some kind in Judah, but instead, he became a prophet. It doesn't say here how he was called to be a prophet, you know, like Jeremiah. When he was only a boy, God appeared to him and said, you're going to be a prophet. Here it doesn't say, so we do not know exactly how it all happened. But his main topic was the day of the Lord. And I think the day of the Lord appears many times in the Bible. In Hebrew, it's Yom HaShem. Or Yom Adonai, Yom being the day, and Adonai being Lord, or Hashem, the name. Sometimes in Hebrew, instead of saying God's personal name, they will say Adonai, the Lord, or Hashem, the name. That means the name, not just any name. Yom Hashem, the day of the Lord. Okay, let's start with the second verse. I will sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will sweep away everything from the face of the earth, says the Lord. Sweeping, you know, like it's a sweep. You know, in the Philippines, they like to use this thing called walis, right? It's a sweeper. And every morning, you can hear them sweeping everywhere. Sweep, 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 sweep. People are sweeping. They're cleaning from the night before. So, yeah, I will sweep away everything, says the Lord. And it continues, verse number 3. I will sweep away both man and beast. I will sweep away the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea, and the idols that cause the wicked to stumble. Idols that cause the wicked to stumble. What is the second commandment in the Bible? Does anyone remember? Numero dos. Yes, very good. So no idols allowed. So God is, this is sort of like when you think of the creation from Genesis, everything God created step by step. Here it's kind of like reverse. God is sweeping away all of these things in a certain order. Man, beast, birds, fish, and finally the idols. We can also remember during at the time when the people of Israel were in Egypt, and Moses performed all those miracles and all those plagues that happened. You know, they were kind of like idols of Egypt, and God killed them all. So it does seem like God will get rid of the idols when he wants to do so. It continues, when I destroy all mankind on the face of the earth, when I destroy all mankind on the face of the earth, that is really scary stuff. All mankind. Verse number 4, I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all who live in Jerusalem. How can that be possible? Is God going to destroy his own people and his own city? Well, the flood did take place. It was God's creation, right? How about the first temple, remember? What happened to the first temple? The people said, God will never destroy his own temple. This is God's temple. This is God's temple. And Jeremiah said, no, God said that he's going to destroy it if you don't repent. And the people said, we're not going to repent. God is not going to destroy his own temple. That's ridiculous. Let's get this Jeremiah in the prison, and he's just causing trouble. But it did happen. So I think we need to take this word seriously for the future of our own situation. It continues, I will destroy every remnant of Baal worship in this place. The very names of the idolatrous priests. Baal worship. Baal. Who is this Baal? Well, Baal was one of those evil gods that was worshipped by many of the countries near the Israelis, and apparently some people have said that the spirit behind Baal is actually a very powerful chief spirit, and I was reading that apparently this evil spirit controls 66 legions of angels, of the fallen angels. So apparently it's something really wicked and powerful. And child worship was practiced by people that worship Baal. They would bring children and throw the child into the fire in front of this ugly thing called Baal. So this is pretty nasty stuff. And obviously this spirit is still around, and I think we can see evidence of evil things that is happening. Let's continue. Those who bow down on the roofs to worship the starry host, to worship the starry host. The horoscope. It's kind of like a joke, you know. We think, oh, it's kind of cool. Let's read the horoscope. But, you know, I think there are some real powers behind all that. So I would encourage if you enjoy looking at the horoscope, stop it, okay? Just get rid of it. Besides, they have the dates and the months written down that, you know, you are this sign if you were born on this and this day. But apparently the satellites and the constellations, they're all moving. So the dates have changed. So it doesn't make any sense. So just discard it, okay? Don't worship the stars. Those who bow down and swear by the Lord and who also swear by Molech or Baal. So this is kind of like a mixture. You know, there are people worship God, they honor God, but they also follow these evil idols. This kind of a mixing is not good. I think we see this often in certain religions. People have these, you know, they honor God in some way, but then they also cling to their own old evil practices. Verse number 6. Those who turn back from following the Lord and neither seek the Lord nor inquire of him. Turn back. It's easy for us to turn back. So don't turn back. Don't look at the horoscope. Okay. Verse 7. Be silent before the sovereign Lord, for the day of the Lord is near. Again here. The day of the Lord is near. The day of the Lord is near. I think we've been speaking about this like about 2,000 years at least, that the day of the Lord is near. Jesus is coming back. Nothing has happened yet. Interesting. The day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated those he has invited. Consecrated. Made holy. God is making us holy. In Hebrews it says, by one sacrifice he has made holy. The sacrifice has been made. We don't need the sacrifice to these foreign gods. They're not going to help. The sacrifice has been made for us so that we are consecrated. We are made holy. We have been invited. We have been invited. Verse number 8. I'm reading from the NIV, by the way. On the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the officials and the king's sons and all who clad in foreign clothes. On that day, I will punish all who avoid stepping on a threshold, who fill the temple of their gods with violence and deceit. Stepping on a threshold. Interesting. Remember, in the 1 Samuel, when the Ark of the Covenant was captured, and they brought the Canaanites, they brought it to the temple of Dagon, you know, Dagon, their god. And then so then during the night, Dagon fell over in front of the Ark of the Covenant. Poor Dagon, you know, he's not a very strong god, obviously. So when they saw that happening, they went to help him. Let's lift him up, you know, we have to help our God. Let's put him back up because, you know, he fell down. So then, next day when they came again Dagon had fallen. And this time Dagon has broken off his hands and his head on the threshold. They decided that let's not step on a threshold. You know, it could be dangerous. Dagon's going to fall on someone. Verse 10. On that day, declares the Lord, a cry will go up from the fish gate, wailing from the new quarter, and a loud crash from the hills. So now it's talking about Jerusalem. You know, there are different gates in Jerusalem. I think one of the interesting gates is the eastern gate, which is facing the Mount of Olives. Did you know that it's been tiled over? It's been closed, that particular gate. It was someone named Suleiman who decided that he's going to stop Jesus from coming through that gate because Jesus already went through that gate once. And it says in the Bible that the Messiah will come through that eastern gate once again. So he decided that's not going to happen. So it's been all tiled over. The eastern gate. And there's even a Muslim graveyard now in front of that gate just to make sure that the Messiah is not going to be able to come. But we shall see, won't we? Let's go to verse number 12. At that time I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish those who are complacent. Lamps. There's lots of lamps in the Bible. Remember the 10 virgins, they had lamps. Interesting. I will punish those who are complacent. Then he continues, who think the Lord will do nothing, neither good or bad. The Lord will do nothing, neither good or bad. I think in the church, there is this idea floating around that, okay, nothing has happened now for like 2,000 years. nothing is going to happen. God is not going to do anything, okay? Maybe we don't understand, or maybe he's just not interested anymore. We don't know. The Lord will do nothing, neither good or bad. I think we have to trust the Word of God more than these kind of ideas that come floating around from time to time. Let's go to verse number 14. The great day of the Lord is near, near and coming quickly. The cry of the day of the Lord is bitter. Mighty warrior shouts his battle cry. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of trouble and ruin, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, a day of trumpet and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the corner towers. A day of wrath, distress, anguish, trouble, ruin, darkness, gloom, clouds, blackness. Verse 17, I will bring such distress on all people that they will grope about like those who are blind because they have sinned against the Lord. They have sinned against the Lord. Their blood will be poured out like dust and their entrails like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his jealousy, the whole earth will be consumed, for he will make a sudden end of all who live on the earth. The day of the Lord. This is really scary stuff. I don't know why I got into this. But, well, you know, we have been praying that God would give us prophetic vision into the future and also apostolic power. So maybe this is kind of like a beginning to that. Obviously, the day of the Lord is coming. When it's going to happen, we don't know. How it's all going to happen, we don't fully understand. But I believe that all Scripture is God-breathed, and it's very clear to us that the day of the Lord is coming, and somehow we need to be prepared, we need to understand. So let's end with 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Brother Shimon Kepha, also known as Peter, this is what he wrote. 2 Peter chapter 3. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets, like Zephaniah, right? He was a holy prophet. The words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. So the apostles, like Paul. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Remember, Zephaniah said, God will do neither good nor bad. God is not going to do anything. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being, creation, right? And the earth was formed out of water and by water. By the same waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. So the flood came and destroyed. By the same word, okay, same word, the scriptures, the present heavens and the earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. with the Lord, a day's like a thousand years, and a thousand years like a day. So this is very interesting, this one day, 1,000 years. It does say that like a thousand years, like a day. So we're not really sure if it means exactly like days the way we count them, but it's similar. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone come to repentance. So God's will is not to destroy. God's will is for repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord, here's again, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare, burnt up, destroyed by fire. Elements. I think elements, isn't that like in science? There's these elements of, I didn't go to school much, so I don't know, but elements are being burned up. That must be like some really serious stuff, you know? Verse 11, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? That's us now. Peter is talking to us. What kind of people should we be? These are the instructions that we are getting from Brother Peter. You ought to live holy and godly lives. So holy and godly. As you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Speed its coming. This is very interesting. Should be like be excited that destruction is coming. I don't know. Speed its coming. How do we speed its coming? Interesting question. We can ponder about this and talk about it. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. Again, elements are going to melt. Destruction by fire. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. New heaven and new earth. Wow. Finally, some good news, right? New heaven and new earth. That's where we want to go. That's where we want to be. Verse 14. So then, dear friends, that's us. We are friends, right? Since you're looking forward to this, and yes, we are looking forward to this, make every effort. Okay, this is now our part. We need to make an effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Spotless, blameless, at peace. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Yet God is being very patient. God is amazingly patient. That we can see that all around us. God's patience is unbelievable. Our patience is very short. God is very patient. The Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul. Oh, here we have Paul. Rabbi Shaul, Paul. You know, there are some who have said that Paul's writings, we should just ignore them, that we should not, you know, listen to Paul. Because he said some things that we don't like. And, you know, that's again something that is floating around. But here, we have our brother Peter, who is endorsing, giving witness to Paul. So I believe we can trust fully Apostle Paul's writing, even though sometimes we think that we don't really like what he said. Just as our dear brother Paul wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes in the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. So Paul spoke about these same things as Peter and Zephaniah did. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand. Yeah, that's true. Which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. So that's a warning for us. We need to take all Scripture seriously. Therefore, you know, when the Bible says therefore, it's like the stuff that we just spoke about, we read previously, so that's covered now. Therefore, dear friends, that's us, right? Since you have been forewarned, it's just a warning, be on your guard. Be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. We are in a very secure position when we trust the Scriptures. We don't have to be afraid. Let's not fall into lawlessness, but let's follow the law of the Lord, the Scriptures. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. So we should grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. To him, Jesus, be glory now and forever. Amen. It's the last word here. So on that note, I will also say amen. This is a very strange message. But remember, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us the Scriptures. All Scripture came from you, Holy Spirit, and it is somewhat scary, and sometimes we don't understand. But Lord, we receive, we appropriate, we take it in, we accept, we place our faith and hope in you and your word, and we want to expedite the day of your coming. Help us, Lord, to live right, to be holy, to be found spotless and blameless at your coming. Help us, Lord. Fill us, O Lord. Give us prophetic vision into the future and give us apostolic power to expand your kingdom. And Lord, we pray that the day will come when we will be with you in your heavenly kingdom. Always and forever we will be with you and see you and be with you. That is our prayer. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.